Greetings. I'm the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and thank you for inviting me. Let's get romping. But first, let's sit back and relax like our little minion friend is doing there. And I always like to remind you that I have an email address, alberthasselbeck@gmail.com, in case you want to reach out to me for any questions or comments or concerns. My website is paulhasselbeck.com. And then I have a website for my podcast, metaphysicalromp2.com, that I create with my friends, Bill and Cher Holton. And so this is user-friendly metaphysics. Does God use us? And certainly the idea that God uses us pervades our culture and actually pervades maybe all cultures way back to the beginning of time. And I think it's time we question that answer. So first, I'd like you to simply understand, relax. Belief is encouraged, but not required. And unanswered questions are far less dangerous than unquestioned answers. And both play a role in our spiritual growth, in our expanding, and our evolving, however it is you see that happening on your spiritual journey. So from the Gospel of Thomas, the second saying, Jesus said that one who seeks not stop seeking until that person finds. There's something very similar found in the Bible about that, right? However, in the Gospel of Thomas, it goes on to say, and upon finding, the person will be disturbed, and being disturbed will be astounded and will reign over the entirety. Now, for me, that means reigning over the entirety of our consciousness. So we are fully human and fully divine. What I mean by that is I'm right here in front of you, fully human, but am I expressing the full spectrum of what it means to be human? And as I sit here, I am fully divine, but I don't know the full extent of my divinity or your divinity. We simply know that it exists. So, an unquestioned and unexamined answer. God uses us. And we see this in that range of consciousness we call vessel consciousness, where we're a vessel for God, or we're an instrument for God, or we're a conduit for God. All of those phrases that separate us from the awareness of the divine. So from a unity conference way back in 1923, I found this quote. God only does what man says he shall do. God is our servant. When I read that for the first time in the Unity archives, I was stunned. I was disturbed. I was thinking blasphemy because I had never questioned that answer that God uses us. It feels good. It feels special to think that God is using us. But there it was in this first lesson given in 1923 that for me explains why sometimes our prayers aren't as effective as we would like them to be, because we turn them over to God to do things for us. God only does what man says he shall do. God is our servant. And then Charles goes on to say, did you ever think of that? And that question, it's like a dawning in our mind, isn't it? It's opening up the possibilities. He then follows that with, and you can read it along with me, that this wonderful Spirit of God, out of which everything is made, is here at all times, is always present with us, and we are using that God. And once again, the first time I read that, it was like, because that was an answer I had never questioned. As a reminder, Myrtle Fillmore, one of the co-founders of Unity, defined God this way. God is it, neither male nor female, but principle. So we do a little word substitution, abracadabra, and we get principle only does what man says principle shall do. Principle is our servant. Now that feels a little more comfortable, doesn't it, than saying God is our servant. Well, at least I hope it does. And then from Atom Smashing Mind, we have this amazing quote. I'm going to read it. You read it with me. Then we're going to update it to 2022 terms. The creations of the one mind are ideas. The ideas of God are potential forces waiting to be set in motion through proper formative vehicles. The thinking faculty in man is such a vehicle. Now let's think about this. When we think of God as divine mind, we think divine mind has ideas, like our human little m mind has little I ideas and thoughts. However, divine mind is principle. Divine mind is divine ideas. And they are simply existing. And they are full of infinite potential and infinite possibility, waiting to be set in motion through proper formative vehicles. The thinking faculty in man is such a vehicle. But let's clarify it just a little more. Universal principles are potential forces waiting to be set in motion through proper formative vehicles. The thinking, feeling faculty in humankind is such a vehicle. Or if you prefer, the thinking faculty and feeling faculties in humankind, in you, in me, is such a vehicle. You see, in Charles's time, it was the thinking faculty that was primary. But today, we know thinking and feeling are very, very important. And it's what we use to set in motion all ideas. And we can't exclude Mother Myrtle, can we? She said in, let me see, Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters, God is in us as the very life and substance that we use. Not life and substance that's using us, that you and I use. And our use of principles increases our ability to use and direct them. You know, practice makes perfect. She says, God is life. We make that life into living. God is love. We make divine love into loving. So we can say it this way. Principles in us as the very life and substance that we use, and our use of principles increases our ability to use them. Principle is life. We make that life into living. Principle is love. We make divine love into loving. Wait, what? Huh? God is not loving? God is not living. God is life. Life is a principle that we manifest into living. Think about this. Every living thing on the planet is using the principle of life to manifest this thing we call living. Wait, but what? God is not loving. God is the love, the great heart of the universe and of man, from which is drawn forth all feeling, sympathy, emotion, and all that goes to make up the joys of existence. We do that with the principle of love. God is love. God is the principle of love. That from which all loving springs. And that loving is springing forth because of the way we are using the principle of love. God is not all powerful. Well, from Jesus Christ Heals, Charles Fillmore said, God does not exercise power. God is that all-present and all-quiet powerlessness from which man generates that which he calls power. God is the principle of power. We use it to be powerful. The point to be clearly established is that God exercises no attributes. I'll go as far to say that God has no agency as we've understood it in the past. God does not have attributes. God is the attributes. You can think of the 12 powers as 12 divine ideas, 12 principles, 12 attributes that we use. And if you can conceive that all that principle is right at hand for your use, all principles can be grasped and used by you. So the trick is, we got to become aware of what the principles are. And similarly, we got to become aware of what the laws, the spiritual laws of mind are, because those spiritual laws of mind tell us how our mind works. Most of you have probably heard of the law of mind action. That law tells us when we hold a thought in our mind with feeling, we produce similar thoughts and feelings in our minds. That's how we grow those clusters of thoughts and feelings. Myrtle Fillmore called them thought colonies. And then this is in this unpublished piece I found. Take this into your heart. There is but one power. Now, we say that every Sunday. There is but one power. But he goes on to say, we use it, we use power as we will. If we send it out by our thought and word in hate, it destroys. But if we send it out in love, it builds. There are not two powers, but two ways of using power. In unity, we don't have two powers. We don't have a power for good and a power of evil. We have a principle of power that God is. And how we use that is colored and defined by our own consciousness. Send it out in hate, it destroys. Send it out in love, it builds. And anything in between. And a contemporary of Charles Fillmore, back in the 1920s, E.V. Ingraham, if you haven't heard about him, you might look him up in the archives, the Unity Archives. Here's a very powerful thing he said in the May issue of the 1920 Unity magazine, which was an issue on the power of power of the 12 powers. He said, "We already have all the power there is. But we have either repressed their forces or directed them in the wrong channels. We have had the power to demonstrate disease in the face of omnipresent health. Poverty in the presence of inexhaustible substance and seeming death in the presence of eternal life." I'm going to read that again, because I want you to really land this within yourself. Read it along with me if you like. We already have all the power there is, but we have either repressed their forces or directed them in wrong channels. We have had the power to demonstrate disease in the face of omnipresent health. Poverty in the presence of inexhaustible substance and seeming death in the presence of eternal life. You see, Eric Butterworth said, God is present in its entirety at every point in space, all at the same time. We could say principle or power is present in its entirety at every point in space, all at the same time, always available to us, available for us to use. So does God use us? No. We use God. So it's important for us to understand what God is as principle, to know what those principles are, to know what those powers are, to know what those laws are, so we can begin using them consciously rather than unconsciously. Because the truth is, we cannot not use them. We can not not use them. We are using them all the time. And once we know that, and once we learn them, metaphysics becomes a lot more friendly, a lot more practical, and a lot more applicable. Bless you, and thank you for listening.